All right, so we're diving into Sanibel v. New York.
Yeah.
This 1971 Supreme Court decision
Huge case.
really set the stage for how we think about plea bargains.
Absolutely.
And what happens when a prosecutor makes a promise
Right?
and then doesn't keep it?
Yeah, when it all falls apart.
You've sent us some really interesting sources for this: court
Yeah.
documents, legal analyses,
Right.
even some historical background.
It's fascinating stuff.
So,
What's really interesting about Sanibello is that it kind of lays bare this tension
yeah.
that's at the heart of the plea bargain system.
Okay.
We all know over 95% of criminal cases
Right.
are resolved through these agreements, so they're clearly a cornerstone of our system.
For sure.
But Santabella forces us to ask,
Yeah.
what happens
What
when...
safeguards are in place
Exactly.
when the state doesn't hold up their end of the bargain?
The state with all its power.
Okay, so let's set the scene a little bit for our listener.
Okay.
It's 1969. We meet Rudolph Santabello,
Okay.
who's facing some serious felony charges in New York related to running a gambling operation.
Right.
He manages to strike a deal with the prosecutor.
Okay.
He'll plead guilty to a lesser charge, and in return, the prosecutor will stay silent at sentencing.
Now, staying silent might sound a little vague,
Yeah.
but in this context, it meant the prosecutor wouldn't push for a specific sentence.
Okay.
No arguing for leniency,
All right.
but also no demanding the maximum penalty.
Okay.
They'd basically leave it up to the judge.
Gotcha.
And at the time, that kind of neutrality from the prosecution
Yeah.
was a pretty valuable bargaining chip.
So Santabello thinks he's gotten a pretty good deal,
Right.
avoids the risk of a harsher sentence.
Yeah. But here's where things get a little tricky.
A few months later, on sentencing day, there's not only a new judge on the case,
Oh, wow.
but a new prosecutor.
Interesting.
And this new ADA, completely unaware of the previous agreement, asks the judge to give Santabello the maximum sentence.
Whoa. Talk about a curveball.
You can imagine how Santabello felt completely blindsided.
Totally.
The judge claims that the ADA's recommendation didn't actually influence his decision, but guess what?
What happened?
He still hands down the maximum one-year sentence.
Wow.
Santabello tries to withdraw his guilty plea,
Makes sense.
thinking, hey, this isn't what I signed up for.
Right.
But the court denies his request.
Oh, man.
So this feels like a classic bait and switch.
Yeah.
So how does this case go from a New York courtroom to the steps of the Supreme Court?
Well, Santabello, feeling rightfully cheated,
Right.
appeals his conviction,
Okay.
and the case makes its way through the legal system, eventually landing in front of the highest court in the land. And this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court has to grapple with some pretty fundamental legal questions.
Like what?
Do defendants have a constitutional right to some kind of relief when a plea agreement is broken?
Yeah.
And if so, what's the legal basis for that, right?
Okay.
And maybe even the most important question,
Yeah.
what should be done to remedy the situation?
Those are some big questions.
Huge.
So, what did the Supreme Court decide?
Well, this is where Chief Justice Burger steps in
Okay.
and delivers a landmark opinion. He states very clearly that when a plea bargain rests on a promise from the prosecutor,
Yep.
that promise absolutely has to be kept.
No exceptions.
No exception.
Even if it was an honest mistake,
Yeah.
like in Santabello's case with the new prosecutor.
Even then,
Wow.
the court acknowledged that sometimes these breaches happen unintentionally,
Okay.
particularly when there's staff turnover.
Yeah.
However, they emphasized that the entire prosecutor's office is responsible for honoring those agreements,
Oh, wow.
not just individual attorneys.
So it's not just about individual prosecutors, but the integrity of the entire system.
Exactly.
So what happened to Santabello?
Yeah.
Did he get a do-over with his sentencing?
Here's where the remedy gets a little complicated.
Okay.
The Supreme Court didn't actually mandate a specific solution.
Oh, really?
They left it up to individual states
Huh.
to figure out what was appropriate in these situations.
Okay.
They did, however, outline two main options.
Right.
The first is specific performance,
Okay.
meaning the state has to stick to the original agreement, which often means a new sentencing hearing in front of a different judge.
Gotcha.
The second option is that the defendant can withdraw their guilty plea,
Okay.
essentially going back to square one.
So they could go to trial.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
So those are two very different paths
Right.
with potentially huge consequences depending on the case.
Yeah, so which one is more common?
Allowing the defendant to withdraw their plea is way more common.
Okay.
Specific performance where the state is forced to uphold the original agreement.
Right.
That's much rarer.
I can see why letting someone take back their plea probably feels a lot less messy than trying to reconstruct a plea deal from months ago.
Absolutely.
But I imagine there are some strong opinions about which approach is actually fairer.
For sure. And you see those perspectives reflected in the concurring and dissenting opinions within the court.
Okay, so what were some of those opinions?
Well, Justice Douglas, for instance, really emphasized the idea that the prosecutor's office operates as one entity.
Okay.
Like, you can't just point the finger at one ADA and say, oh, it was their mistake.
Right.
The entire office is accountable for upholding those promises.
So it goes back to that institutional integrity.
Exactly.
You were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What about the dissenting opinions?
Well, Justice Marshall, while agreeing that Santabella's rights were violated, argued that he should have been allowed to withdraw his plea without question.
Interesting.
His reasoning really focused on the importance of trust in the system.
Okay.
If defendants can't trust that the prosecution is going to honor their end of the bargain, the whole plea bargain system kind of starts to crumble.
That makes sense if the system feels rigged.
Right.
Or unpredictable.
Yeah.
Why would anyone agree to a plea deal?
Exactly.
Makes you wonder what Santabella himself would have preferred.
Yeah.
A new sentencing hearing.
Right.
Or a chance to fight the charges altogether.
It's a great question, and it kind of gets to the heart of the complexities of plea bargains.
For sure.
But even with those differing opinions, the court was unanimous in its core holding.
Okay.
Plea bargains are serious, legally binding agreements with constitutional weight.
So this wasn't just a win for Santabello.
Right.
It was a win for the integrity of the plea bargain system as a whole.
Exactly. Santabello set a powerful precedent that continues to influence legal practice today.
Wow.
It highlighted how a broken promise by the prosecution undermines the very idea of a voluntary and fair plea, violating the due process clause, which guarantees fundamental fairness in legal proceedings.
Okay.
It was a clear message to prosecutors, honor your commitments.
So this case wasn't just about some gambling charges in New York.
Right.
It really clarified the weight of plea deals.
Absolutely.
So what does this all mean for someone entangled in the legal system today?
Santabello is a stark reminder that plea deals aren't just casual handshake agreements.
Yeah.
They carry real legal weight and they're subject to constitutional scrutiny.
So they can't be taken lightly.
Exactly.
That's interesting because plea bargains often happen behind closed doors with lots of negotiation and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a trial where everything is out in the open.
You're right. There's a lot of discretion involved in plea bargaining, but Santabella made it clear that those agreements are still protected by the Constitution.
Yep.
So they can't just be treated casually.
It also makes you think about the power dynamics at play. You have the prosecution representing the state with all its resources, and then you have the defendant who might be under immense pressure to take a deal, even if they're innocent.
You've hit on a crucial issue, the potential for coercion in plea bargaining.
Wow.
It's a debate that's very much alive today.
That's crazy.
How do we make sure that plea deals are truly voluntary?
Yeah.
And not the result of undue pressure?
Right.
Especially for those who might not even fully grasp what it means to waive their right to a trial.
Yeah. It's a delicate balance.
It is.
Efficiency versus fairness.
Mm-hmm.
But at least Santabella established some ground rules to make the system a bit more just.
Absolutely. It set a precedent that prosecutors can't just back out of their agreements.
Right.
Even if it was a mistake or there's been a change in personnel.
Yeah.
And it gave defendants a way to challenge breaches of plea deals.
It makes me wonder, how often does this actually happen?
Yeah.
How often do prosecutors break plea deals? Is it something that keeps defense attorneys up at night?
It's hard to get precise numbers because a lot of these breaches might never even reach the courts.
Right.
But there's plenty of anecdotal evidence and case law that suggests it's not exactly uncommon.
Yeah.
And yes, it's definitely a major concern for defense attorneys.
Yeah.
They're constantly vigilant, making sure their clients' rights are protected and that the prosecution is sticking to their word.
It's amazing how one case can have such a lasting impact.
I know. It's really incredible.
It's like Santabello threw a stone into the legal pond.
Yeah.
And we're still seeing the ripples today.
That's the power of landmark Supreme Court decisions.
Yeah.
They shape not only the law itself,
right,
but how it's practiced and interpreted. Mm. Santabello is a prime example of that.
So for our listeners out there,
yeah,
especially those who are lawyers mm-hmm. or law students dealing with this stuff in the real world,
right?
What lessons can we learn from Santabello?
Well, first and foremost, documentation is key.
Okay.
Every single detail of a plea agreement needs to be clearly spelled out in writing.
Yeah.
Leaving no room for ambiguity
gotcha.
Or assumptions.
Right.
This protects both sides and helps prevent misunderstandings later on.
So no more scribbling deals on cocktail napkins, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay.
For prosecutors, Santabello is a wake-up call for better training and communication within their offices.
Okay.
Everyone needs to be on the same page about the deals being made.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a system to keep track of them,
right.
even when staff changes happen.
To avoid those, oops, I didn't know. moments that could have serious consequences.
For sure. And for defense attorneys, Santabello highlights the importance of being vigilant.
Okay.
If a prosecutor seems to be backtracking
yeah.
or there's any hint of a broken promise,
right.
they need to act quickly.
So file motions, object on the record.
Exactly. Don't let it slide.
So it's about fiercely advocating for your client's rights every step of the way.
Absolutely.
It sounds like Santabello really raised the stakes.
It did.
For everyone involved in plea bargains.
Without a doubt. And it also brought the whole issue of plea bargaining into much sharper focus.
Okay.
Before Santabello, it was often seen as this informal, almost shadowy part
yeah.
of the criminal justice system.
Right.
But afterward, it was clear that plea deals are subject to constitutional scrutiny.
Okay.
And those same principles of fairness and due process apply.
I think many people imagine legal cases as these dramatic courtroom showdowns.
Right.
But Santabello shows us how sometimes the most critical legal battles happen
yeah.
during those quieter negotiations.
Right.
Long before a trial even begins.
That's a great observation.
Yeah.
And it highlights why understanding cases like Santabello is so crucial.
Okay.
It helps us see how the law operates in real life.
Yeah.
How it impacts people's lives yeah. and how even seemingly technical legal doctrines
right.
can have profound effects on our justice system.
Yeah. It really shows how much is going on behind the scenes. How cases like Santabello really shape the legal landscape.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that Santabello was decided over 50 years ago.
Right.
The legal world has changed a lot since then.
For sure.
We've seen shifts in prosecutorial practices,
uh-huh.
sentencing guidelines,
yeah.
even how we view criminal justice as a whole.
So it makes you wonder, how relevant is Santabello in today's world?
Right. Is it still the gold standard?
Yeah.
When it comes to plea bargains and broken promises.
Exactly.
It's definitely still foundational.
Okay.
It established those core principles
mm-hmm.
that remain incredibly relevant.
Like what?
The binding nature of plea agreements.
Okay.
The importance of prosecutorial integrity.
Right.
And the constitutional implications of a broken promise.
Gotcha.
But like any landmark decision,
yeah.
it's been interpreted and refined over the years through new cases and rulings.
So it's like Santabello laid the groundwork.
Yeah.
And then other cases have built on top of it.
Exactly.
Adding new layers of complexity and nuance.
Uh-huh. There have been cases that have clarified the scope of Santabello.
Right.
What kinds of promises are actually considered legally binding.
Right.
The burden of proof on defendants claiming a breach.
Mm.
And the range of remedies available.
So it's become a whole body of law in itself.
It really has.
It sounds like something that keeps legal scholars.
Oh, yeah.
And appellate courts pretty busy.
Absolutely. Santabello is a gift that keeps on giving.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to legal analysis and debate,
okay.
it's a case that law students and lawyers
yeah.
will be grappling with for generations to come.
And for anyone who finds themselves caught up in the criminal justice system,
mm-hmm.
whether as a defendant, a victim, or an attorney,
right.
Santabello serves as this crucial reminder
yeah.
that even in plea bargains, where things can feel murky and uncertain,
absolutely,
the Constitution still matters.
It does.
There are legal safeguards in place.
For sure.
To protect those fundamental rights.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It speaks to the enduring power of due process.
Yeah.
And the importance of holding the government accountable.
Right.
Even in the most seemingly routine parts of our legal system.
Well, I think we've successfully navigated.
I think so.
The ins and outs of Santabello, New York.
Yeah. Great discussion.
Any final thoughts for our listeners
mm-hmm.
as they consider the implications of this case?
I'd encourage everyone to think critically about the role of plea bargaining in our justice system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful tool that can be used for good or bad.
Right.
It's up to us as a society to engage in thoughtful discussions
for sure.
about how to ensure it's fair and just for everyone involved.
What a great point to end on.
Thanks.
This deep dive into Santabella v. New York has really highlighted how a single case can ripple through the legal system.
It's amazing.
Shaping how we think about fairness, accountability.
Absolutely.
And the very foundation of our justice system.
Couldn't agree more.